Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
I got a call from Jackie on Friday, and it was a question that she asked that I couldn't say no. The way she asked the question, I couldn't say no. So this past couple of weeks, a particular scripture has been on my mind. It's one that I found strength in to enable me to take a step in faith in that sense. And I've just been, whenever I'm stop cold, I just think about scripture. Okay, yeah, okay, I can do this. And then so Jackie rings me up and she told me about her cold and how she can't speak for 5 minutes. And then she was like, this was the way she put the question, do you have something to share? It's not like, I want you to speak in my place or anything. Do you have something to share? And immediately that scripture came to mind. Okay, so I couldn't say no now, could I? So that scripture I'm going to share with you today, and I'm going to talk about it and my experience of how that scripture has come to mean so much to me, and hopefully it will mean a lot to someone else here. Let me just find it. So the scripture that I will start and end my talk with it. It's Isaiah chapter 30, from verse 18 to 26.
And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the Lord shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures, the oxen likewise, and the young asses ear the ground, shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In that day that the Lord binds up the breach of his people and heals the stroke of their wound.
Thank you. So this scripture, it's the prophet Isaiah prophesying that after the Israelites have gone through after they've gone through the exile, after they've suffered so much that God will himself restore them from all their suffering, that their God will not abandon them, that after this they've endured affliction, he'll come back to them. So the reason why this scripture spoke so much to me, this is the second time I'm standing here to share. The first time was about 6 months ago. I was, probably still am in what you call a valley experience, as Andrew likes to say, a valley experience. Just a little recap. I moved to Downham Market with my family about 2 years ago. And I moved for work. And my employer promised me the earth, the sky, everything. Just come and do this for us. And then I came and, you know, the story changed. Stepped on one too many toes by being too forthright or something like that. And I didn't last up to a year at that job, and I was shown the door. I made redundant, first time that ever happened to me. And I thought, okay, yeah, I was doing the right thing. I was being Christian in this place, and, you know, these things happen. Surely God is going to undeliver me and take me to somewhere better. But I had a long wait, still waiting, in fact. This happened a year ago, and I went through different seasons. In particular, there was a time that God revealed to me that I seemed to have so much faith and hope in my status, my accomplishments, my what I want to do, and not focus on who He is. And that was a key breakthrough for me. And I thought, oh, right, I've learned the lesson I needed to learn about this period. Keep in mind, this was six months ago. Okay, so surely things will get better. Since then, since when I shared that, I went home, traveled home to spend Christmas with my family, Christmas and New Year. Came back thinking, yeah, things are going to change. Well, nothing. When we came back in January with my family, we came to this church once, and I didn't return to church for 2 months. I didn't return to church for until March, because I was really, really in the valley. And, well, it was tough. It was tough, to put it lightly. I could not understand why, having spent so much time learning, having spent so much time trying to prove myself, that I would just be shut out in an industry that needed my expertise. So just to, again, remind everyone, because, yeah, this was 6 months ago, I'm a chartered engineer who has done research and has PhD in low carbon energy systems, and I'm struggling to find a job in an industry, energy industry that is moving to low carbon energy systems. So it's a bit weird. It became clear that it wasn't really about me or what I had to offer. It was something that I could not do anything about. It was crushing in the sense that the world is so unfair in that sense. And I thought, as a child of God, surely, you know, these kinds of things will pass quickly, you know. But it hasn't. And it was difficult those 2 months, in particular between January and in March, dealing with the helplessness, the unfairness, the injustice of the situation. It was really difficult. I just couldn't fathom, yes, I have lessons to learn. I think I've learned them. What else do I need to learn? I need to move. I need to get out of this valley. My family needs me. My everyone that loves and cares about me needs me. I need to move. But I was just met with silence. You know, at that period, well-meaning Christian friends would quote scripture to me, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he says, I don't intend to harm you. I intend this for your good. I'm paraphrasing here. I'm sorry? Yeah. Okay. I still didn't catch that, actually. Exactly that one. Yeah. So, when I heard such scripture at that period, I'll be honest, it was annoyance that really bubbled up in me. Or so I would say, He will quote Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Well, I am acknowledging him, you know. So, yeah, it was difficult, yeah. I, quite honestly, at that period, I felt abandoned by God. You know, I felt, you know, yes, the world is unfair, but I'm your child. You can't leave me here for this long. But I was also fortunate. I was also blessed because I have a supportive, understanding wife who held the fort. You know, the kids needed my time. I wasn't giving them as much as I should have been. You know, I have a mother who is a big fan, huge fan. You know, rang me almost every other day. You know, reminding me of her own history of dealing with disappointments and how God has been there for her. People from this church were also reached out to me to try to encourage me. In particular, Kurt, Rosemary, and the boys, they got me out of the house at one point because I was barely leaving the house. So they got me out of the house. We had to walk through a very nice wooded area. You know, all of that was quite helpful. And even though my perspective was very warped because I just couldn't see God at that period, he was still gracious. He was still gracious because, yes, what was happening to me, or what is happening to me is wrong, it's unjust, it's whatever you want to call it. He kept on stoking my passions in that sense, right? Because it's one thing to be despondent or depressed or whatever word you want to use it. But if you have something to hold on to, something that gets you out of bed and say, okay, I should tackle this. Yeah, I have a very, very strong dislike or hatred. I'll use the word hatred for injustice, right? So whenever I see that or in any way, shape, or form, I need to do something, I have to do something, or write an article or something silly, or just at least get it out of my system. So there were things that were happening that was getting me, you know, worked up and getting me out of my funk in that sense. God also brought new and old friends into my life. Now, when I say new and old friends, it's a bit weird because Shola, my wife, met a couple in Tesco's, I believe. And it's one of those things that because there are a few people that look like us around this part of the country, which is an obvious thing, you know, they looked at each other and they smiled and, yeah, okay, let's exchange numbers. And then we went over to visit them one day. And me and the lady were talking. Hang on, you went to the same school that my siblings went to. Okay, hang on, you grew up in this particular neighborhood. Hang on, are you this person's sister? So this lady, when I was 7, 8, 9 or something like that, her younger brother was one of my closest friends. They were 3 houses next to us in the barracks. I grew up in a little town in Nigeria to move to the other side of the world and meet this person after losing touch for so long was such a blessing. Yeah, and that was something that, oh, my battery is running low. Okay, so God held on to me. Yeah, even in times that I let go, even in times I didn't want to listen or whatever, he held on to me. And even though I didn't want to listen, didn't want to do anything like read the scripture or whatever, you know, I got the prodding to at least listen to an audiobook with a Christian message, or, you know, just do something of God, because I know him. I've known him all my life. You know, this situation of me being in the mess that I am in, it's a season that we pass. That's something that kept on coming to me. So I kept on applying for roles, you know. I was being looked over, you know, roles that I had everything going for me that, you know, at least give me a call and let's have a chat. But I never get any call back. You know, there was this feeling because of the injustice. I wanted people to see how wrong that I was. How can this person that believes that he has so much to offer, how come no one wants to give him that opportunity, you know? But God remained silent, at least in my mind, he remained silent in that period. Yeah, he remained silent. Then I started seeing myself in the mold of Job. I know Job went through a whole lot than I could ever imagine, but one thing I saw was this. Job had the, like I said, the guts to rail and complain at God. He did that. And at the end, God said, Job did not sin. So that was an encouragement. Because whenever I had the opportunity, I sound like a broken record. Whenever anyone wanted to listen, I would rant about my situation. But when I got that perspective that, actually, I can rant at my God. He can take it. That was the beginning of a turning point for me. Then it then occurred to me that actually I still had things I needed to let go of, what I would call idols. Because I realized that it became very important for me to justify myself, to justify, yes, I'm unemployed, but no, it's a special case for me. I am this, I'm that, and that. It's not my fault. It became clear to me that that was something that I was really holding on to. I really wanted people to know that I shouldn't be unemployed. You know, I was justifying myself in front of men, which, as our Lord said in, I believe it's Luke chapter 16, verses 15. So he said this: you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. What is exalted among men is an abomination inside of God. That scripture came to me while I was reading a book which I had had for years, In the Shadow of the Almighty. It's the story of it's a missionary that he died in the Amazon. Yeah, Jim Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot's husband. He was a missionary and he was killed in the Amazon. And this was one scripture that he held on to. And thank you. He was a man that gave his all to God in a manner that I don't think I've seen elsewhere in scripture, or, well, not in scripture, I mean elsewhere in any other example in the world. He gave himself fully to God and he was killed in the Amazon. So let me leave that story aside, because that's another talk entirely on his own. So I got that message, that scripture from his book. I'm not trying to justify myself I should not be trying to justify myself in front of men. God should be my focus. It's in God I find everything. So even though God remained silent, he triggered my memories, that I started remembering the times that he had come true for me. He's done great things for me. So forget family and everything, even my career, the career that I feel is stuck right now. I remember when I first moved to the UK in 2006, I moved to do a master's degree in London. And when I finished that degree, I really didn't have any idea what I was going to do next. I just created a CV, put it online, and the next day, my future boss called me. Oh, you look good. Can we come and do an interview? And I had a fantastic time working in that organization for 2-3 years. I got to travel around the world. I got to see so many wonderful things. And I didn't do that. God did that for me. I also remember the time when I really wanted to do something about global warming. I knew my industry was because I was in oil and gas, I was in power generation. I knew my industry was a major corporate in this. And I just thought, what can I do? How can I use my skills? Okay, why don't I go back and do research? And nothing I did. There was a professor from a university called me to help him solve a particular problem with a software that my company had developed. And when I helped him solve the problem, then he found out that one of his PhD students was a friend of mine. Then he asked, do you think this guy would be interested in doing a PhD? And that was how I went back to and did research. I didn't create that opportunity, he did. When I went back to industry and in 2014, when the oil and gas industry in particular went on a downturn because price of oil dropped, people were losing their jobs left, right, center. I had only been back in the industry for like 6 months. While that was happening, I got a call. We saw your CV that you put online. We have this new technology, this new process we're trying to develop. Are you interested in jumping ship and joining us? Yes, please, you know, because I saw my friends losing jobs and someone is headhunting me at that particular period. I didn't do that. God did that for me. Yeah. So all of those things started to strengthen me and help me change my perspective, because that was key. I always wanted to branch out on my own. That was something that I always wanted to do. I always felt, okay, I need to give, I just need to work in a reputable organization, gain experience, make a name for myself, and when I step out on my own, people will pay attention to me. That was what was in my mind. That's what I wanted to do. But at this point, I felt I'd been stripped of everything, you know. Yes, my track record is there, people could see what I could offer, but they still didn't care. I've not had the opportunity to prove myself somewhere the way I would have loved to, but it was at that point that friends, Christian friends, were telling me, perhaps you should think about doing something on your own. Okay. That's difficult. And it was at that point that Andrew started saying this particular verse from the book of Judges, Gideon, when the Lord told him, go and save your people, you mighty warrior. And Gideon was like, me? I don't have anything. I don't have any. I'm not mighty. So it was at this period that scripture was speaking to me. Then another scripture that spoke to me as well is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I've been stripped of everything, and he's telling me that I'm his handiwork. He has created good work for me to go and do. Where do I turn to now? You know, so it's like, I don't have anything. At least that's my perspective. How can I take a step forward? Then again, I just at the most weird moments, another scripture will come to mind. So this one now that also came to me that period, the 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10, each of you use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Over these past 5 to 10 years, I've come to understand my strengths. In terms of my abilities, I've come to know who I am. I've come to understand what I can do. I've come to know that I've been blessed in one particular way or form, so surely I can use that gift. So that side dawning on me, you know. And then another scripture comes again, this time Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 17. Be careful how you live, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what God's will is. Okay, this is getting difficult. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, there's something coming here. I really need to step out on my own. But I kept on applying because, quite frankly, I didn't think I had it in me. But then after a particularly bad rejection. This happened in, let's say, because I had turned the corner, and this was at the end of April. There was this job that everything they required, I had it, and plus. You know, it was like, okay, yeah, great. Here's my application. I'll wait for the interview, you know, fine. And I put in the application today. Tomorrow it was rejected. Why? I wasn't given a reason why. The same thing I've been experiencing over this past year. That really got me riled off. And that day or that period, maybe that day or the day after, I came across this scripture. And I think this was the one that got me out of it eventually. So this is our Lord in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8, from verse 22 to 25. One day, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. They were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. "Where is your faith?" Some translation says, "You still don't have faith?" But I prefer, "Where is your faith?" Because it's not asking you, how strong is your faith? It's, where is your faith? If your faith is as small as a mustard seed, where is it? Yeah, where are you putting your faith? It's like a man falling off a cliff. You know, have this picture in your mind. And then there are shrubs or branches sticking out on the side of the hill. You grab one. You don't care how strong it is. You just have it and grab it. So when that question dawned on me, where is your faith? My faith is in Christ. My faith is in my Lord. My faith is in the promises that God has given me, has laid out in Scripture. I felt a surge to take the next step, right? To step out in faith. Even though I felt I had lost, I didn't have much to offer, I again came upon Scripture that was very helpful to give a good perspective. This was Paul. In the book of, when he wrote to the Philippians 3 from verse 4, let me paraphrase very quickly. At the end of, what he was trying to say is, though he had every reason to be confident in his flesh because he was a Hebrew of the people of Benjamin, he was circumcised on the eighth day, he had zeal for God and all of that, everything that he thought was worth something in his flesh, he counts as loss. That he might know Christ and know him fully. So everything I thought was worth something, I needed to leave it on the ground and just hold on to my Lord. So with that in mind, I also came across, there's a theme here, scripture, 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 and I'll get back to you later on. So I also came across, this was one of, this is third to the last scripture I'm going to mention. I also came across this, whatever you do, whether in word or do it all to the glory of God. I needed to have faith, not in myself, not in my ability, not in my accomplishment, but in my God. And whatever I decided to do, I needed to do it for my God. Not for man, not for the praise of man, not for anything, not even to save whatever I wanted to save, my reputation, my whatever. I needed to do it for God. But as a human being, I was still hesitant. Because at that period, ideas had come to mind. Okay, this is something I can do. Yes, no one's giving me an opportunity. I know it is your will that I work, be a blessing, not just to myself and those I love, but to others who I need. I know that's your will for me. I know that this situation is not what you want me to be in. But I was still hesitant. And it was in that hesitation about a couple of weeks ago that I came to the passage that I've shared at the beginning with you, and I'm going to pick just one verse in that whole scripture. After the promises of He's going to restore. He's going to bless. There's just one verse I want to share, which is, I think, that's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.